They worship the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. So the common man has been humbled, and the man of importance has been abased. He said, but, now listen to this, this is a very serious prayer. He said, but do not forgive them. Enter the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord, because the terror must come, and from the splendor of his majesty. He said, the proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. He said, for the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up. Now, please notice that a day of reckoning, he said, that he may be abased. He said, to be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted, against the oaks of Bashan, the lofty mountains, the hills that are lifted. He said, verse 17, and the pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of men will be abased, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. If you want to know what this means, just think about Noah. Every man who laughed at Noah, the last thing that was in his mind as he was drowning was Noah. Noah was right. And do you get my point? Everybody that mocked at him, those who were living far away, who didn't know about the, although they would have heard somewhere that, we heard that there's one man somewhere who had been saying, that's what's called the preaching of the gospel, who had been saying that, a flood is coming, and all of us will drown except we enter into his ark. You ask yourself, what if all of them came into Noah's ark? Did he ask place for them? I'll give you an answer. They were not going to come. I don't know how else to explain it. They were not going to come. God knew they wouldn't come. Moses, Noah, you're just bothering yourself. Preach to these people. I know they won't come. Now, this is what I'm making. That you see, before blessings come, do you understand my point? There are kinds of blessings that a kind of heart can't take. Are you getting my point? They can't. That's just the way God has done it. Now, listen to this. Before God judges, he builds an ark. Do you follow my point? Before God blesses, because you see, the day of God's judgment and the day of God's blessing, they are the same. Do you get my point? The day of the Lord is judgment for the sinner and blessing for the saint. It's the same day. It is the same day. So, he gives the sinner the opportunity to repent, and then he preaches the gospel of blessing to those who will repent, or the saints at that time, telling them to wait. Now, because that's the principle of God, you must wait. God doesn't come quickly. God can answer you today, but the answer may not get to you for the next few years. God is never in a hurry. He called everybody, come to the banquet, come to the banquet. And the God there said, where's everybody? He said, one guy went to repair his car. Where's everybody? One man went to buy land. Where's everybody? They gave one or two excuses. Did he start serving the food? No. He said, go and fill the empty seats. When they finished filling the empty seats, he now locked the door. They started serving the feast. Do you get my point? The rain doesn't start until Noah has closed the door to the ark. Because if he did, they will run into the ark. No, that's God for you. We want to punish them. No, before the one drop. Now, listen to me. The day of Noah, you know why Noah's case was very ridiculous? There had never been rain before the day of Noah. They were not used to rain. They look at the sky. This sky, the heaviest thing that ever came is dew. How they look, this must be a joke. And the man was talking for over 100 years. And nobody was listening to him. It's not their fault, in quote. They didn't have the heart to believe. They had never seen it before. Why would they believe that way they had never seen? Do you understand my point? Now let me say something to you. Yesterday, man was here to see me. Many of you may know him. His name is W.D. Favor, Whitefire Favor. He was here yesterday. We had a discussion. Now, there was a statement he made, which I said, this is so true. He said that, but there's a reason why he came. He wanted me to do something. There's almost as if it's building a kind of network of serious-minded people. Let me use that word. He said one day he was coming down from a church program, and his car was, the radio in the car was on, and he heard this guy preaching, and that's me. All right. Like, who? Ah. He said, wow, who is this fellow? He said he got to his house, parked the car, and sat in the car until the program ended. And he told himself that this guy is very bold, though. That these very things this man is saying are the same things he believes. But at that time, he had not had the boldness to see many of them. So he was very happy that somebody was bailing the cat. He said many times, now listen, many times people have told him that we heard you on radio. And he says, no, it's not me. That guy is called Banky. It's not me. What's the reason? Because they will hear him preach. All right? And he does what they call a success academy. They hear the kind of things he says. And then they will go home and hear somebody preach on radio whose program is called The Way of Success and who says the same kind of things. That they say the disparity in the voice must be the radio. Do you get what I'm saying? They say it must be the same person. So they go and meet him and say, we heard you preaching on radio. And he say, no, it's not me. It is somebody of a like spirit. You are getting what I'm saying? Now, when we're discussing, he said that one thing he had known was that, you know, God told Elijah, I think it's only you, I have thousands of men that have not yet bowed their knees. He said that he knew that there are thousands of people. In fact, I made a statement to him. I said, I see preachers, I won't mention names, all right? Some of them you know very well. Who think they are very special? Who think that God specially anointed them? And I have talked to some of their contemporaries when they were much younger, and I realized that what they think is special was commonplace amongst their contemporaries. That at that time, it was just one thing that God was doing. I don't know whether you get the point. Kola Osho said something today. My wife and I went to see Ms. Otero Mnenugo here, and we spoke for a few hours. He described the kind of divine manifestations as a student on campus that used to follow his ministry. I mean, the kind of manifestations that most human beings have never seen. You know, they are the type that, in fact, he said one day he laid hands on somebody. You know, normally people fall under the power. This one, he didn't fall under the power. He lifted under the power and fell backwards because his shoes were exactly where they were when he was praying for him. Like, do you get the point? The man was wearing shoes. And he laid hands on the man. And the man left his shoes, went backwards, and fell somewhere at the back. Now, Kola Osho said something there. He said, when he left and entered into ministry, those kind of manifestations kind of vanished. And he asked God, what is going on? And then he understood that. Now, listen. They were the beginning of a new generation for Nigeria. They were. And God, by many signs and wonders, called them out of Egypt. I don't know whether you're getting my point. And he called them to come and walk with him. Now, listen, I told you before about why God was angry with Thomas. God wasn't angry with Thomas that he wasn't around. The Lord was angry because those who were around told you what happened and you are saying they are lying. By the time people like us enter campus, all those things, most of them had died down. But a lot of those men were still around. And they were preaching the word of faith to us and we believed. I don't know whether you are following the point I'm making. Now, bring it out something. Now, this man, when we were speaking yesterday, he said that he has found out that actually what God is doing is that he's raising, I want to use my own words now. All right? Let me use my own words. He's raising a new generation of people in this country. There was a way God called him. And he said he knew that he's not the only one. That there are people everywhere. So the day he heard me on radio, he just said, confirmed. That this is another one of them. Then, you know, then you talk. He said, I just spoke with this person. Now, I've met people here and there. When I was in my alumni fellowship last time, I explained to some of the brethren, I said, listen, what is happening here is not only here. Just this is the one we know. Do you get my point? That, see, I'm going somewhere very practical. That what God is doing is he's calling people everywhere, here and there. There are seeds that were sown generations ago. I've heard the story of Pailton. What struck me about Pailton is the fact that because of the visions he had, he ran to come and live and die in Nigeria. And like Abraham, he died not having inherited the promises, but knowing for certain that it will most certainly come to pass. And you see, I am persuaded that we are the generation that will bring to birth the things that a man saw in visions that made him come to Nigeria. God is not slack concerning his promises, the Bible says. But he waits for men to repent. This is what I'm going to make. God doesn't just make a promise and hurry to fulfill it. He gives a promise and he says, having these promises therefore, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of God. There's something about, I called my wife yesterday. I said, you know what they call temptation? Let me tell you something. Life is full of temptations. I remember one song we learned when we were children in nursery school those days and primary school. Okay, you're starting, my boy, on life's journey. How many of you know this song? You're all too young. My God. He said, you're starting, my boy, on life's journey. Along the highway of life, you meet with, I've forgotten, it's not like you meet with a thousand temptations. He said, each city with evil is rife. That is, it's full of evil. He said, this world is a place of, is it enchantment or excitement? He said, there's danger wherever you go. He said, but if you meet with, is it a thousand temptations, have courage, my boy, to say no. I learned that song when I was a child. Don't blame me for not remembering the words. I'm telling you, I learned this song before I was 7 years old. So don't blame me for getting most of the words. In fact, as I grew up, I began to remember, okay, this was must have been what they said. I remember the man who taught me then, elderly man, was the headmaster of our school. He had retired from public service, and I came to head our private school. I went to private school as a child, you know. Now, I'm saying something here, that this world is full of temptations. Everything in life is a temptation. The question is whether you enter the ark or walk out of the ark. I said something to you last time, that when you sit down, I've struggled and you've gathered money, maybe 50,000 naira. A friend of yours uses that to entertain guests after morning meeting. I'm like, what is he doing? You want to do the same thing? You're about to step out of the ark. I told my wife, I said, why did they use the word temptation if people will not be tempted? I don't know whether you're getting my point. There has to be things like that. It's what called temptation. When Chike was speaking on Sunday in church, he made a statement. I was like that statement. Because the man who preached about Chike's age, saying similar things, was Steve Harris. That was about that was on Wednesday. Now, the man concluded at the point in time that, oh, God has blessed him so much that he has spoken for 45 minutes before and has been paid a million naira. Chike said exactly the same demand, you know, along the same spirit. He said, however, all of you listen, because we heard Steve say that he spoke for 45 minutes, paid him a million naira, doesn't mean you go and buy a mirror and be reciting Fone in front of it. He said, it won't help you at all. I wanted to jump out of my chair in excitement. Oh, God bless you for saying that. God bless you for saying that. He said, look, better find your place and stay there. That the man who speaks for 1 hour and they give him 10 million naira, that is his place. I told somebody, I said, no matter how much you pay those who speak, I banky, I'm not hiring my voice out. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. It's just my place. I preach the gospel. It's free. That's just me. Nothing wrong with it, though. I'm not saying it's a sin. Let me explain what I mean by nothing wrong with it. Those days, before the way of soccer became what it is right now, even before we started, I knew the Lord in Cosmo, and they know I'm a doctor, so they will come, please, can you come and do a medical show for us? You know, we'll go, their old place, we'll have with us today, Dr. Bankole Olushina, he's a consultant pathologist at University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital. They hype you up so much that everybody will believe that you can solve all their problems. You know, so they hype you up so much. So and then you now go, you now start talking. Please, what is fever? You now explain. You know, you talk plenty. Is it good? Yes, it's good. I've been there like twice like that on medical issues. Now, after a while, I stopped. If he asked me, I would say no. I can find you people. I said, Dr. Obi, IKOB is very good. Let him continue. He does it a lot for them. He's on Cosmo almost every month. You know, he's always on Cosmo. He said, "Why did you stop, Pastor Banky?" I said, "Because my voice had become Pastor Banky. It's not right anymore for me to go on Cosmo FM and be teaching medicine." I said, "It's not good again. It's not bad. Sorry, it's not wrong. It's not immoral. It's not a sin. But once I talk on Cosmo, those who have heard before, their ears don't tune to fever and malaria. Their spirits come out from their flesh and stay in their ears. I want to start imbibing truth. Therefore, no matter how much you are paying, I am preaching for you for money. I won't motivate you. No, I'm serious. You know, maybe Stivaris is talking and all of that. They do these things for companies. Mike Mundog does it. This Ghanaian man does it. What's his name now? You should know his name. You gave me his CD that time, Rocket. Yes, Mensah Otabio. He does training for company executives and all of that. iBanky ain't doing. Nothing wrong with it. It is just, I found my place. And I like to shout from the rooftops with megaphone to everybody. In fact, people invited me for a program before. I said, if it's success motivation, I'm not coming. So when you invite me to places, I teach the Bible. Don't gather Muslims for me. It's true. Those who know can testify. When we used to do meetings then in Benin, I used to print on the flyer, "This program is for Christians alone." I'm not planning to make altar call. If you're a sinner, go and meet Ken Katas. No, it's true. No, people have come to me several times. "Please, we're welcoming you students. What the kind of truth, you know, they need to know about life." As a new student, into where? Into a suit, into your neck, into MD. I say, "Come." I know one man, he's a champion of new students. His name is Ken Katas. I said, "No, if you want, I'll give you his phone number." I said, "I Banky, if I come there, I want to teach you." Now, I'm not explaining something. So that the chicken said, "Look, everybody, locate your place." What am I saying? We call these things temptations because they tempt people. If they didn't tempt people, they wouldn't be called temptations. No, they wouldn't be called temptations. In life is full of temptations. Every situation you find yourself in life, as a Christian, God has planted you so that you might experience your own fair share of temptations, so that through them you might enter into the Noah's Ark that will preserve you in the day of the Lord. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, be an evil and an adulterous, or in Nigeria's case, a corrupt generation cannot inherit the promises of God, even if they claim to be Christians. We're studying here, was it on last Monday, and we're analyzing, I think it was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, thereabout. And Paul was saying that, don't you understand, he was talking about to Christians, that those who do these things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And I was explaining that what do we call the kingdom of God? It's not saying they will die and go to hell. I will not go to heaven, they will go to hell. No. He said that God has promises. If they do these things, in the day that the flood of Noah will come, they will find themselves outside the ark. Are you getting my point? Please, I'm going to introduce something to us today. I'll continue developing it next time. That look, before blessings come, that on the earth, what people experience is a product of the kind of people that are living on it. We've discussed that one before. I'll explain it again. It's a product of the kind of people that are living on that earth. I said we were getting very practical. That in a nation like this at this time, not only this nation, actually it's the world. God has promises, and there is what he calls the day of the Lord, and that day must come. But before the day comes, and I said that day is both a day of blessing and a day of judgment. It's a day of judgment for doers of iniquity, and is a day of blessing for doers of righteousness. Before that, God continues to declare, telling people to leave the generation. You know, that's what we call the world. Because each generation has things, all right, that characterize it. There was a time, maybe a place like America, you heard of Wild Wild West. Violence was everywhere. Violence. Violence. Violence everywhere. Next time I'll talk about it. You will see that Satan is very active. Very active. He's always spreading, trying to spread things. into the world. I used to say that, and I still mean it. That fella was a minister of the devil. I don't look. You can quote me the way they are quoting John Hagee now, and Rod Pastor, and trying to make them look like evil people. That Rod Pastor said that Islam is a satanic religion trying to take over the world by force. They say, how can it be so? I say, the man is, what's your problem? The man is a Christian. That's a correct Christian stand. But it's not politically correct. So, McCain, who he endorsed, that's why preachers stop endorsing people. Stop getting involved in politics. If you're a preacher, stop it. It's embarrassing. I was watching it yesterday. It was quite an embarrassment. McCain has now rejected the endorsement of Rod Pastor and John Hagee. There are a lot of things happening in the world, and this is satanic ministry. Sometimes I sit down, don't let me say I sit down and watch Channel O. As God lives, I can't remember sitting down and watching Channel O. But I've seen clips of all this they bring out from South Africa. I say all these things, they are ministrations of Satan. Listen, one thing Chike said on Sunday, he said, when I have bought CNN, if you come and dress improperly to sing, you won't get on that network. I said, that is correct. That is righteous. You people on TV and be winding bottom. Look, listen, it is Satan. It's Satan. I'm not lying. What are you trying to do? It's called a spirit of seduction. Look, listen, anything you don't enforce dies quickly. The Bible says it clearly, where wood is lacking, the fire goes out. That's the way it works. You cannot sustain an adulterous generation without certain inputs. You can't. I'm telling you the truth. Let me tell you, as a matter of fact, in Jesus' name, you must prosper. Let me say prophetically, from this country, where's Chike? When he launched them, delicweb.com, I was watching, I was looking at my screen, is it today? And suddenly I remembered something. I realized something. I look at the web page, look at Yahoo's web page. There's not much difference. The only difference is that everybody knows Yahoo, nobody knows delicweb yet. Now, if you make 1 billion people log onto your website, you can affect 1 billion people without trying. Everything that Yahoo people believe you will find on their website. Let me tell you one of the reasons, one of the ways that God is using, Barack Obama has frustrated the life of Hillary Clinton. One of the ways by which God has done it is that most of the media, I don't know how God turned their hearts. They are favorably disposed towards that fellow. Yes, I don't know how God did it too, but that's an issue. I have his book, Audacity of Hope. You tell that in politics, it's about visibility. They don't see you, they don't vote for you. Whatever you need to do, just be out there. If you have to walk on your head to attract attention, do it. What's his name? Richard Branson. All those things he does. He's flying around the world in a hot air balloon, all those things. It's part of what makes his empire very big. Because if you don't go to his company to do something, you will hear one day about one crazy multimillionaire who's trying to fly around the world and twice has almost died and is still doing it. What does he do, sir? He tell you about his product. Let me test it. No, that's the way it works. I'm saying something. Why I say you must prosper? Satan uses his own machinery. He looked at Jesus and said, look at this whole world. I have taken it from them. If you were here last week when I explained how Satan steals authority. I have taken it from them. I give it to whosoever I wish. Anybody I like. Just bow to me. I want you to understand something. The same way Satan has taken over the world, or he took over the whole world in the time of Jesus Christ. Jesus came not to rapture the church. That's a mistake we think. If you believe in me, I carry you away before Satan gets you. Satan is very wicked. This world is a wicked world. We have to run. Let's get away. Let's get away. Satan is wicked. He hates your soul. He's the enemy of your soul. He's coming after you with gun, with baton, with grenade, with atomic bomb. Please come, come. Let us run. You, my people, I am your redeemer. Run away from Satan. It's a lie. That's not Christianity. You know what he said? He said, sit at my right hand until I make all the networks preach the gospel. Oh, you didn't hear that right. He says, sit at my right hand until I make anyone churning out either hardcore or soft pornography go bankrupt in 24 hours. Sit at my right hand until every news network that will only broadcast calamity fails in 1 month. Sit at my right hand until every enemy of righteousness meets a sudden and unexpected death. Sit at my right hand. You know what he said? He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know the meaning of the word gates of hell? What do gates do? They shut you out. So who's trying to invade? It is the church. It's not the devil. You don't understand the point. The gates of hell said they are coming. Close the gates. Jesus said, no. The gates of hell cannot prevail the advance of the church. It is not the church that is running. It's Satan that's running. You don't get what I'm saying. It is not the arrows of hell that will not prevail. It is what? The gates. The gates are trying to prevent the advancement of the church. And Jesus said it's a joke. Listen to what I want to say. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. God will not break Hollywood down. He won't spoil Hollywood. You know what he will do? He will kill the people who are there and replace them with new people. It will still be a film capital. Except that next time you'll be hearing Jesus of Nazareth coming from there. No, I'm serious. Serious movies is all coming out from there. Not all the crap they put all over the world now. You think? No. What did he do to the promised land? Earthquake spoiled the whole place? No. He looked at them. He said, let me bring some good people. Remove all these wicked souls from here. Listen, there are companies that you have seen. Those companies won't collapse. They won't. They will be taken over. Do you get my point? No, they will not collapse. Because why should they collapse? So that my people have to build from the scratch. No, he said they will live in houses they did not build. That's the promise. I hope you are following the point I'm making. But listen, God takes away the first. It's a shift of generations. He has to remove a former generation that is evil and is adulterous, and this is Nigeria, and that is corrupt. You don't know how corrupt Nigeria is until you talk to maybe somebody who, a typical, maybe European. Some of the concepts in our hearts are foreign to them. Now, let me tell you this, it's surprising. If a European buys a CD, maybe Microsoft Word, he doesn't give his friend to copy. It doesn't cross his mind. He thinks his friend should go and buy his own. And it's, you know why? It's copyrighted. It's intellectual property. The typical thing in his mind is that I buy my own, you buy yours. If it's too expensive, download a free type. No, there are free software everywhere. That's the way they think. It is the Asian and African mentality. Then now you don't buy. No, we share this. So yeah, copy and for here for me, John. And no, there's nothing to us. We don't think about it. We don't even think about it. It doesn't cross our mind. It doesn't. But there's a principle of the gleaning. You know, like I always say, when brigades don't chop the food, the remnant. Now, me guys for here chop them. It's all right. You know, with all of the piracy they do in Africa and in China, brigades gets paid $4 billion in a year as dividends. You know, the one that Oceanic Bank will send you 20,000 naira, and the whole church will hear the testimony. Now, let me explain something here. That what God wants, listen, and I feel commissioned to say this, is that God needs to build a new generation. Do you follow me? Before he can take out the old generation. And if God takes out an old generation, he often does it violently. He takes away, it's like he rips away the first, that he might establish the second. But let me end my message today with this point. Let's live with this point. And that is the fact that we have to be careful every day to make sure that we are, by our actions in every encounter of life, we are showing ourselves as not being members of the old generation, but part of parts, bodies, as in membership parts of the new. That is, we are blocks with which God is building that new house. Do you get my point? Listen, it's important. Satan has his ministers out there, and God has his ministers in here. Are you following my point? That's my job. I have, because, see, when prophetic words go out, God also teaches the people how to prepare for it. He will tell Moses, go and tell the people, I'm coming on the third day, but there must be a first day and a second day of preparation. Everybody go and wash your garments, do this, do that, then on the third day I will come. If they don't do the things he says on the first and second days, the third day does not come. The third day is not a 24-hour period. All right? It's not as if God is counting, you know, first 24, second 24. Each season, each day is a season of repentance and renewal. When everything has been made full, he said, when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. It's automatic. You get what I'm saying? That is, all things we have prophesied and we have believed for, God said, guys, I have heard. I have prepared. In fact, you are praying, you are prophesying. Before you were born, I determined it. What's my message for you in your own generation? Oh boy, take yourself out of the old. Paul said, let me end with this. Paul said, come out from amongst them and be separate, and I will be a father unto you. Listen, in everything that you are doing, you ask yourself, how am I being amongst them? Listen, to walk with God, I say it's a walk. It's not a dash. It's what? A walk. Even when you're talking about a race, it's a long race. Do you understand my point? It's a race that is set before. We know what Paul said, we run it with what? With patience. So it's not a dash. It's a race. It's a long time. It takes time. It takes a long time for you to finish it. The thing that God wants to do, you have to prepare for it. That's what I'm going to say. We walk with God every day. The second point I'm making is that we run it with patience, with endurance. One of the things I have found out is that there are people, listen, in life, Paul said that there are people God chose them as if to make them suffer for everybody else. Say, we are apostles, we are like that. That's what Paul was saying. There are people that could have prospered in their own areas or in their own countries, their own nations, who God called and said, go and suffer for these people. And for 20 years, they pray and preach. 30 years, they are praying and they are preaching. God doesn't even give them decent offering. They live in a small house, listen, but the seed they are sowing, the seed that they are sowing, that is, generations later, you'll be hearing their stories. The day you will really know is when you get to heaven. And they say, oh, all the turnaround and the revival that was in Nigeria. Who do we give it to? A lot of you are looking out for somebody that you know. Then you see one small old man who lived like 60 years before you were born. Come, you never know. And God says that fellow, he was here somewhere doing his prosperous business. And I saw his faithfulness in business. And I said, this is a man that if I show him a vision for this land, he will not let it die. And I took him somewhere, I showed him the vision, and for the next 50 years, he was praying and prophesying and teaching young men that it shall come to pass that in the latter days, that the Lord will do this and this, and I want you guys to know and prepare for it. And those ones will go, they will go and teach other people. Then 20, 30, 40 years after him, you see a crop of people who are preaching the same gospel, never having spoken directly one another. But if you tie their ancestry together, they join in that man. And then they, in fact, I believe that my name, my Pastor Banky, I'm one of those last group of people. Then they will now finally preach the last message. They will prophesy yet again. And then God will pour forth the blessing. And somebody will say, oh, that guy preached so much, all of us are now blessed. God says, that's true, he tried. He said, but before him, there was a man who lived decades before. And he's just the fruit of the seed that man sowed. Do you get the point I'm making? Have I made any sense today? But listen, what do I want us to know? Each person must go away with this. That the call of God for my life is to come out of the old generation and start getting ready, all right, for the new thing that God wants to do by stepping in my heart into the new generation. Remember what I said? That the word works is correct. But we don't judge by the things that have worked. We judge by the things that are written. Because what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not yet entered into the heart of man is what God wants to do in your life and mine. Therefore, we cannot go by what works for other people. We can only go forth by that which is recorded for us which has been expounded to us by his apostles and his prophets. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Can we begin to give the Lord thanks?